The readings today are focusing in on humility. Humility is a virtue that is highly misunderstood, because I think sometimes people think of it as putting yourself down. And that really is the wrong emphasis. The word humility comes from the word humus. And humus means earth, the dirt of the ground, earth. And so it doesn't mean that you are dirt. It does mean, and I think we have a better phrase, that it means that you're a person who's down to earth. We even talk about a person who has a swollen head. Can his head fit through that door? And when you see somebody like that, you're seeing someone who has a totally unrealistic opinion of themselves, to inflated opinion of themselves. But the opposite is also not good. You have people who literally hate themselves, who have no sense of confidence in their own abilities. And you hear it a little bit when people, you give them a compliment, and people are saying, oh, no, that's not one. And both of those extremes are really not good. We could say not healthy, but the whole notion of health, psychological health, I would say having a balanced understanding and opinion of yourself. Okay? Now, what that would involve would be having a sense that you're not perfect, that you're always going to have people that are better than you. And we spend a lot of times, and as a matter of fact, we do it too much, we spend a lot of times comparing ourselves to others. And so I'd like to take this just a little bit deeper, because there's another verse in the gospel that always has illuminated this whole notion of humility. And notice in the banquet, in the parable that Jesus is saying, he's saying that a person goes in and takes a place of honor. Now, analyze that. What is a place of honor? Technically, every chair is the same. If you took away the arrangement of the room in any, say you went to a, you got invited to the White House. What Jesus is basically talking about is you go to the head table and you sit down. You know you're going to be embarrassed. But take away and the room and take away the arrangement of the room in terms of where the president is going to be or the head table is going to be. Literally, you could put the head table anywhere. So the place of honor is a place where people are going to have their attention, right? The attention of the people will be on people seated closest to that place where the main event is going on. So what goes on to make a place of honor? It means being able to be in a place where people will look at you and say and think highly of you because you are seated somewhere close to what's really the center of the event. So really what you're dealing with is you're seeking importance. You're seeking to be important in the eyes of other people. Because otherwise, you would not be sitting at a place of honor. You are wanting to make yourself important in the eyes of other people. Now, the problem with that is that the moment you get into that dynamic, you are already sunk. And here's where the other piece of one of the sayings of Jesus comes in for me. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, verse 44, and by the way, because I'm not Baptist, I don't know chapter and verse to all of these scripture, but that's chapter 5, verse 44 is one of my favorites because it means a lot to me. You'll see why. Jesus is talking to a group of Pharisees, and Jesus says to them, and there's different translations, but Jesus says to them, how can you believe when you seek the glory that comes from man and do not seek the glory that comes from God? Now, at first, that has some meaning, the way we understand, because the word glory, there you can link it to the word honor, when you seek the honor that comes from man and not the honor that comes from God. But let me take it a little deeper with you. My good friend, Rabbi Stuart Federo, the guy who's on the radio with me, along with the Baptist minister, David Capes, on Sunday nights, he made a comment many years ago that the word glory that we translate in Latin means doxa, but in Hebrew, the word glory is actually the word, now you're not going to understand this one, the word kavod. Kavod. Now, when you seek the kavod that comes from God, from man, and not the kavod that comes from God. Now, what is kavod? Well, kavod also means weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, or substance. And so, now translate the passage again, using the word weight. How can you believe when you seek the weight that comes from man and do not seek the weight that comes from the one true God? Now, at first that may not make sense, but let me ask you this question. Think it through. Who, in fact, holds weight in your life? Whose opinion holds weight in your life? Because whosever opinion holds weight in your life, that is the person you are seeking honor and glory from. And so it could be that you're wanting to impress your friends. And so you do whatever you need to do to look good, to have honor, for your friend's opinion to have weight. And so what do? We call it peer pressure. Why? Because what the person is seeking is the honor of those people. Now notice what has happened. Not seeking the honor of God or the weight of God, you're seeking to fit in. Or go to your job. Are you seeking the honor primarily? And this is not, I'm not saying that you shouldn't want to do well for your boss. You don't want to go and do a horrible job for your boss. But the question really is, what is your hierarchy of who's really important? Who's really important? And if your bosses, if you do anything for your company, if you do anything and even bend the rules a little bit, who are you really seeking honor from? You're seeking it from your boss. And you could go on and on. You know, I want to fit in with my country club, or I want to fit in with the people at work, or I want to fit in. And it's, like I said, it's not a question of not wanting to fit in. It's a question of what are you willing to do in order to satisfy that desire to fit in. What are you willing to do? And if you're willing to do almost anything to be liked. Now, if you, for example, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or your wife or husband, and you're willing to do anything for them to love you or to like you, you're dead meat. You're dead meat. And why are you dead meat? Because you have placed that person in the place of God. That's why when Jesus was saying what the Pharisees would be doing is they would walk around with these tremendous robes, and Jesus would say they widened their phylacteries, the things that they wore in the front of their heads with the law. They would have these tremendous dresses, I mean, capes and stuff, to be noticed. And think it, keep on going, and think it through how we deal, because we're a culture of that. What is it that a lot of people want? I want to be famous. Now, what is famous? Open the hood on famous. Open the hood. And look at the engine of famous. Famous is to have a lot of people looking at you. Famous is, ooh, look at him, and everybody's tuning in. Famous is when you have a lot of followers on Facebook. Or famous is when people on Twitter just are commenting, ooh, look at how many hits I got on my website. You're famous. And our stars, our sports stars, they're fame. They're looking for fame and the fortune that comes with that. The problem is that not only is that morally, what Jesus is challenging is, he's saying basically this. The more you seek the weight of people, the honor or the fame of people, the more weight you give them, the less weight you give to God. That's basically, I almost picture it like a seesaw, okay? The more you seek the fame or the fortune or the honor, it goes like this, and God just, because the fame is the one that has the weight. And our society is built on that. It's built on that. What do you think advertising is all about? It's about much of it to get you to buy stuff that will make you look cool. That's another word. Open the hood on cool. What do you get? A lot of people going, ooh, ah. I love to tease teenagers. When I see teenagers, wearing these, you know, the jeans with all the holes in them and stuff like that. When you walk, I was amazed a few years ago. I was walking by the Galleria, in the Galleria, and I saw these jeans, and they looked like they were taken out of the garbage, but they were on the front window. And so I just thought, I wonder what they're getting for those jeans. And so I walked in, and those jeans are much more expensive than the jeans that are whole. Okay? Now, ask yourself, why would a person pay extra for jeans that have holes in them? Why? And the reason why is because we are now in a culture where you're supposed to, the grungier you look, the cooler you are, right? And so notice what it is that you're buying. You're not buying jeans. You're buying cool. And what is cool? You're buying the attention of others. You're basically saying, I need some cool. Take my money. I need some cool. I love teasing the teenagers when I do this because I go up to them and without them knowing anything, I'll go up there and say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they look at me and I say, yeah, I'm so sorry. We're gonna really try to help you. And they don't know why I'm saying it. I say, yeah, because, you know, we're gonna take up a collection for you. And they're totally lost. And of course I say, oh, but see, you must be digging in the trash for your clothes. And I think it's beneath the dignity of anyone to dig in the trash for their clothes. And of course, then they get in, then they, get out of here. So, but that's basically what you're doing. You're paying, you're saying, please take my money a little extra so that my friends can think I'm cool. You're buying cool. You're buying it. And boy, folks, this is not the teenagers are not the only ones who do that. Okay? Every time you go buy, you know, a shirt, a nice shirt, and you get this little pony right here, okay? You pay extra for that little pony because you want people to see you are wearing polo. Polo. Right? Take my money. I need to be in this little club. Or ladies. In the Galleria, I walk by the store called, well, it's Louis Vuitton. Right? Louis Vuitton. I love to say that, you know, with the nasal. Louis Vuitton. And they have, in my opinion, some of the ugliest purses I've ever seen. Okay, ugliest, horrible things. And you go in there, and people are saying, take my money, because I need to feel Louis Vuitton. That's basically what's happening. What is it that you're buying? You're not buying a purse. It may be well built, but you're buying cool. You're buying cool. When guys buy cars, you know, that cost tons of money. I was with somebody the other day that they had spent a lot of money and they were older on a red Jaguar. And I had to bite my lip because what the heck does an old man need with a red Jaguar? That's a midlife crisis happening in front of your eyes. Okay, so notice how this, all of this, is applying what Jesus said. The more you seek the importance to being cool, the honor, the more the more you seek that, the more the weight of your life is directed by the opinions of others. That's why you see a lot of people who are famous, when fame goes away, they don't know how to handle it. A lot of them get into drugs. A lot of them get into all kinds of weird stuff. Because why? Their sense of meaning, their sense of purpose, the sense of who they are was tied to being looked at. I want to be looked at. I want to be admired. And you get addicted to that. And that is basing your life on a false sense, a false sense of importance. And what is Jesus saying? The true sense of important is, what does God think of you? If you stand in front of God, what does He think of you? The moment you put somebody in that place where God ought to be, you're dead meat. Because that's the beginning of sin. The beginning of sin is because I'll do whatever it takes to be important to you. And finally, I've said this before to you, but to me it's so important. It has made a lot of difference. Think about the word, what you're doing here this morning. You are here worshiping. Now, I used to not like that word. You know, let's worship together. Because in the back of my head, I always imagine people going, you know, like that. I worship you. And this is why I love etymologies. Because etymology, the history of words, tells you a lot of times what it is that you're dealing with. The word worship is so simple, and it totally makes a difference to what you're doing here this morning. The suffix, the second part of the word, ship, what that means is the art or practice of anything. So you have penmanship, craftsmanship, citizenship. Anytime you have a ship at the end of a word, what you're saying is the art or practice of whatever comes before it. Now, you have the beginning of the word, W-O-R, were, of worship. Were is a shortened version of the word worth. Worth. So what is worship? Worthship. Worthship is when you come together, and or you can do this alone too, but you come together to make sure that the list of the things that are worth it to you are in their right order. You come together and say, okay, God, I'm here because I want to make sure on a regular basis that I pay attention, pay glory, pay importance to you first. That's what you're doing here. You're saying the first day of the week, what we're doing is making sure whether you want to come or not, it doesn't matter. It matters only that you are here saying, I want you to be of the most importance to me. And you betray what's the most important things to you by what you give your time to. By what you give your time and attention and money to. I'll never forget, I had a retreat many years ago. And I couldn't figure out why the retreat master wanted me to bring my checkbook and my MasterCard receipts for the last 3 or 4 months. And what he was doing, at first I thought, God, this is kind of blazing, you know? Does the guy want me to write him a check for every time I see him? No. He wanted me to look at what I was giving my time and my money, because he had me bring my calendar. What are you giving your time and your money? And it's true. You make room for that which is important to you. You make time. You make space. You make finances up there for what's really important to you. So, in closing this, that's what Jesus is saying. Get realistic. It's not about putting yourself down. It's about having a balanced view of yourself. And then, when you have a balanced view of yourself, think about it. Who are you seeking glory from? Who is it that holds weight, kavod, in your life? And make sure that when you come, when you face God, you can in good conscience say, you are the most important in my life. I like to be liked by other people. That is normal. Nobody wants to be hated. We like to be liked. But I am never willing to put anything above you liking me and you liking the kind of person that I am becoming by my decisions. That is the glory of God.